Welcome to the Amy Rushworth Show. I'm your host, Amy. I'm so glad you're here. I'm an empowerment and sexual wellness coach, breathwork teacher, podcaster, course creator, badass bitch, and a globally recognized thought leader on empowerment. And I'm here to help you if you're ready to fuck off the rules and create a life of unashamed, unapologetic pleasure and deep, deep confidence. I have a burning passion for the taboo and naughty areas of womanhood that we're not supposed to talk about, such as sexual wellness, bold self-expression, defying social expectations, and so much more. The topics that we're typically taught to shut up about or be ashamed of are the conversations I live for, and those are the kind of juicy, soulful chats that are going down on this show. My intention is for you to step into your most outrageously free, unapologetically expressed version of you. So if that sounds like a vibe, let's fucking go. Are you ready? Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome back to the Amy Rushworth Show. Super excited to dive into this episode. We're going to talk about bouncing back from a time in your life where shit has hit the fan. If you're in that moment right now, I'm sending you so much love. It can suck so bad. But my intention for this episode is to uplift you so much, to give you a new perspective so that you can bounce back, keep rising, and go from sad girl mode to hot girl mode. So let's talk about it. When you're going through a time in your life that feels really challenging, it can really make you feel unmotivated. I know that I've been there. 2022 was a whole lot of that for me. And the thing is, when you feel unmotivated, you look for a way to escape or to distract yourself so you don't have to feel the pain or the boredom or whatever emotion that you're moving through. And that can be kind of good for a time, right? We all need a distraction from time to time. Sometimes we need a little healthy escape. But when you behave in certain ways repetitively, where you're trying to escape or you're not feeling motivated, so you do A, B, and C to feel a tiny bit better, those behaviors can then manifest into habits that don't actually uplift you, that don't actually help you move beyond what you're feeling. And then you can end up feeling worse. So the example I want to give you is like when you're feeling shit or shit has hit the fan, sometimes we can throw away the habits and the behaviors that we know would make us feel really good. For example, we know if we're not feeling good or we're feeling angry or we're feeling sad, that going to the gym or moving your body is going to help you to probably feel better. But it doesn't feel very good when you're on the edge of doing that or not doing that. So when you're on the edge of like, should I go to the gym or should I stay here and eat ice cream and scroll Instagram? It feels like the path of least resistance to probably not go to the gym. And so if you continuously do that, you get that temporary payoff of like, yay, no resistance. I'm already feeling shit. And so I'm going to just escape into this scroll hole. But over the long term, you don't feel good from doing that. Over the long term, you feel more sluggish. Your mood is not as good. You don't shift the energy. You don't get the perspective that you would if you did the thing that is hard to do, but gives you the greatest payoff in the long run. And I want to talk about this through the lens of motivation. So a lot of people think that motivation is something that just spontaneously or miraculously happens. Like a little stalk comes down from the sky and gives you the seed of motivation someday, or some days it doesn't. But motivation is something that we can cause, we can generate. You see this with people who go to the gym. I'm going to use that example again. When you first start exercising or going on a journey with the gym, it's really hard in the beginning. You usually don't feel super motivated, or if you do, that motivation can wear off pretty quickly. And that's why you see loads of people go to the gym on January 1st, but by February or March, a lot of those people aren't still going because they are waiting for that motivation to happen to them instead of causing it. Whereas when people have been going to the gym for years, it's something that they regularly do. It's not that they necessarily just were born with more motivation than you. They've actually caused that motivation. So how do we cause motivation? Well, we cause emotions that then cause us to behave a certain way. And then when we behave in that way, for example, going to the gym again and again, you start to feel good from doing that. And that feeling good causes us to feel motivated to go again. In the same way, if you get that mini payoff by doing the things that don't make you feel good in the long term, but give you that quick dopamine hit, for example, scrolling on Instagram to escape your problems, eating the ice cream instead of eating the thing that's healthy for you because it gives you that quick little hit of sugar that tastes really good, that then becomes the spiral. So how do we cause motivation if we're going through a time in our life where things feel really hard and we know that the things that are going to boost our mood are going to help us to move out of that? Well, what I would recommend that you do, actually do this, don't just listen and think about it, is to write down a list of all your most sacred values in life. What is the thing or the things that reflect a life of meaning and value to you? It's going to be personal to you. It's going to be different for every single person. Are you someone who really values being in nature or spending lots of time with family, having really close, intimate friendships, having a life that's fun, having a life that's brave, living a life that's brave? So write down all the things that matter to you. Then you want to write down all the things that you spend your time doing, behaviors, actions, certain things that you do. Where are you spending your time? And then you can start to marry these two lists up and look for the inconsistencies. So if you say that you really value a life where you spend a lot of time in nature, you spend a lot of time meditating or doing inner work, but you look at your behaviors list and you go, oh my goodness, I'm spending 4 hours a day on Instagram, you can see that there's a disparity there. There's a disconnect there. And what I implore you to do is to not judge yourself for this, because that's just going to add fuel to the fire. And what I instead encourage you to do is to go, okay, cool. There's a disconnect here. How can I be curious about this? What are the different behaviors that I can use to activate more of this value in my life? And then you can do this in a really simple, moment-to-moment, choice-to-choice way. So when you're choosing between two different behaviors, let's use the example again of, should I go to the gym or should I eat ice cream and watch Netflix? You can ask yourself, what behavior is going to help me to actualize the values that I want my life to reflect? What behavior is going to make me feel amazing in the long run? What behavior is going to help me to be the person that I want to be? The kind of person who bounces back from the shit that I'm going through. How can I show up as that today? And this is what manifests your life. I know a lot of you who are listening are really into manifestation, and I love all the teachings around manifestation. I love the spiritual principles behind it. However, a big part of manifesting is action. It's not just attraction. Part of the word attraction is action. The actions that we take manifest the changes or the results that we create. So if you're in a time where things feel really hard and maybe you're feeling a bit low or your energy feels depressed or you feel a lot of emotions that don't feel great, you can actually use your behavior not only to cause motivation, but to manifest a different next chapter. So what you do now has an effect on that. What you do now matters. And when we recognize, hey, all these little choices matter, we can give more significance and we can put more power behind the actions, the choices that are going to help us to move the needle in the direction that we want to go. The second piece I want to discuss is criticism or being critical. When you're in a time of hardship or challenge, it can be so easy to be critical of yourself or others. It can be so easy to criticize the universe, the world, to be thinking thoughts like, why me? Why did this have to happen? Why did this person do that? Why did I do that? And when we're in that spiral of criticism, it can be super overwhelming. It can swallow you almost. And no good, valuable decisions usually come from being critical. Unless when you write that values list, you wrote, criticism is one of my key values in life. Probably not. I would hope no one wrote that. Then making decisions that embody critique or critical thinking, not in the good way, but critical thinking towards yourself, negative thinking towards yourself or others, decisions that come from that are not going to then expand into a life that mirrors your values of love or growth, whatever it is that you write. So how do we reframe that? I say we switch curiosity in the place of criticism. So when you notice that you're in some kind of critical energy, whether that's criticizing yourself or criticizing someone else, criticizing the past, how can you instead become curious? And how you can do this is notice how criticism feels when it shows up in your body. When you feel critical, where do you feel that? Do you feel that in your heart? Do you feel a sinking feeling going from your heart into your belly? Do you feel it as like a knife stabbing somewhere? Start to notice what the sensations feel like. Maybe it's a back and forth kind of swirl in your head. So when you feel that sensation, that is your sign or your cue. Hey, oh my God, the critical zone. I'm feeling the critical sensations. I'm feeling or hearing the critical thoughts. It's time for curiosity. When we're curious, we are typically more open. We're more receptive. We're saying, I don't know everything. Let me find out. When we're being critical, we're trying to be right about something that we think we know, even if what we're trying to be right about is something really negative. A lot of the time when we're in that criticism, it's actually our unconscious mind speaking through our thoughts, emotions, and sensations. Our unconscious mind wants to be right, even about the negative beliefs that you have, because it makes our unconscious mind feel like it's in control. And when the unconscious mind feels in control, it feels like it can keep us safe, which is the unconscious mind's job. So how can you start to say, maybe I don't want to be right about this judgment. Maybe I don't need to be right about this argument that I'm in with myself or someone else. How can I actually be curious? Maybe there are things that I'm not seeing, that I'm not open to. How can I start to see things as an experiment? I love thinking of life and business this way. I think it takes so much pressure off you to go, everything's an experiment. Because if everything's an experiment, there are no mistakes. There are only amazing gifts and lessons and learning curves. There's wisdom that we can gain from any experience, even if the experience is shit hitting the fan. And that to me is power. Curiosity to me is power. Curiosity and keeping an open mind around things gives us a sense of power when it comes to life. Not just power around the positive experiences, but power around all the lessons that we can gain from the quote unquote negative experiences too. Another concept I'd love to introduce you to is switching from the fear of uncertainty to entertaining the mystery. Our unconscious mind is terrified of uncertainty because that feels out of control. That feels dangerous. We're all obsessed with certainty in some way. How it manifests is different for each of us. Even your certainty might be chaos. If you grew up in chaos or witnessing chaotic relationships being modeled to you, that actually might be your unconscious mind's version of certainty. So how it manifests is different for each of us, but on some level, we don't like uncertainty. We don't like the unknown, even if the unknown is actually healthy for us. So what I like to do as a mindset shift is to try and tap into embracing the mystery. How can you entertain the mystery versus the misery? What clean slate or clean, fresh canvas is now available to you? If you've gone through a big loss recently, maybe a breakup, a friendship ending, not getting an opportunity in your business that you really wanted to, whatever it is that you're grappling with right now, what other opportunities are being made available to you? What possibilities are now on the horizon because this thing didn't work out? How can you start to reorient your focus towards all the things that could go right instead of zoning in and focusing only on what the problem is or what has gone wrong or what could go wrong? I'll give you an example of this. Say you are someone who loves roller coasters and you go on a roller coaster. The roller coaster is fucking cray. It's like up and down and you're hanging off the side of a building, you know, because the roller coaster is on the top of a building and it's so unknown and so scary, but you're so excited because you love roller coasters and you're so glad you're on this roller coaster, even though you're weeing yourself a little bit. Then you take the example of sitting in an Uber and you're just playing on your phone. It's a normal Uber ride. And then all of a sudden your Uber driver starts driving up the curbs and going through the back streets and like knocking people's letterboxes over. And you're like holding on to the edges of your seat. And you're like, oh my goodness, I'm so afraid. What the fuck is this guy doing? Do you see how these two situations, if you're a fly on the wall, if you're a literal fly, so you don't have meaning that you make around anything, the two situations are factually virtually the same. But what's the difference? The difference is the perspective. The difference is that you chose to get on that roller coaster and you chose to feel that fear as excitement, as the thrill of the unknown, delighting in the scary ups and downs of it. But with the example of the Uber driver, that shit is just freaking you out because you didn't expect it. It was unknown. It was uncertain. You didn't opt into it and you don't know what's going to happen. And so even though the physical sensations of both experiences are almost identical, the way you experience them is different based on your perspective, based on your choice and your consent. So how can we choose and consent to the seasons of mystery? If they're going to happen, whether we consent or not, because life is like that, how can you fully choose it? How can you fully embrace the fact that you don't have full control right now? How can you get excited about that? How can you play a game with that? Be like, yeah, life, give me what you got. I'm excited to see what you bring me out of this shit show. The point that I want to lead into from that is you got to remember to tap back into the miracle field. What do I mean by this? Sometimes miracles are hiding in plain sight or in a really sneaky costume. Think about it. I'm thinking about it right now as I'm saying it and laughing. There's been so many experiences in my life that have been so horrific when they happened. And I've thought, what the fuck, God? Why is this happening to me? This is probably the worst thing that I've ever been through, or one of the worst. This is a shit show. I cannot believe that this is happening to me. And I felt lots of emotion in those experiences, lots of judgment, lots of blame, lots of why me? And thought, this totally sucks ball. Then zoom out a few years with a gift of hindsight, and that experience or those experiences, I have a totally different perspective around them. I see those things as miracles now. I see those things as divine redirection now. I see those moments as God looking out for my ass because I can see, wow, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't have done A, B, and C. And then I wouldn't have created all these amazing things in my life or attracted all these miracles. For example, if my friend and my boyfriend hadn't have fucked me over all those years ago, it wouldn't have led me on the path to changing careers, starting this business, finding my purpose, meeting my husband, now living in Mallorca. I can see all of those dots and how they connect in hindsight. The problem is we can't see them when we're back at that origin point where we're in the pain and we're scared of the uncertainty. We're scared that we're not going to bounce back from this. We're afraid that this is it. It's all downhill from here. When really, it was a miracle. So there's nothing for you to do here. There's no practical step here, but it's more of a remembrance or a reminder that sometimes miracles come in different forms. Divine redirection and divine protection comes in many forms. And sometimes that protection comes through people hurting you. Sometimes that redirection comes through shit falling apart. Sometimes life knocks you down so that when you get back up, you've got a new perspective. You've got a new direction that you're meant to go in, and it's going to be more beautiful and brilliant than the direction that you were going in. The other mindset that I want to gift you with is when you're in a period of challenge, when shit has hit the fan, particularly if it's with your relationships, other people, or even the relationship that you have with yourself and your business, how can you move from blame to responsibility? Blame is going to come up if you're in a situation where you've had a conflict with someone, falling out. It's going to come up sometimes with yourself when you make a mistake or you try really hard at something, you take a risk and it doesn't work out how you hoped that it would. It can be so easy to turn the knife inwards on yourself, to blame yourself, to live in regret. This also happens a lot if you're looking back at things that have happened in the past and you're blaming yourself for how it panned out. You're blaming someone else for what they did to you. And it's not a fruitful thing to do, even though it's quite a natural thing to do, because we can't go back and change the past. We don't have time machines. We can't go back and change the past. But our unconscious mind keeps bringing up all these emotions around the blame as if it's happening to us right now. And we don't make valuable decisions from that emotional space, from blame, from regret, from guilt, from shame, from anger. Your unconscious mind thinks that it's happening. Your unconscious mind is not differentiating between the past, the present, the future, whatever you're vividly feeling, thinking about, or seeing in your mind, it's like it's real. So when you sit there festering in blame, festering over what happened in the past, which you can't even change, and then you're making decisions from that place, valuable decisions are not coming from that place. And those decisions, like we've shared, are what are going to manifest the next chapter for you. So instead of just trying to bury those emotions, which you can't do, by the way, like you can try and bury them, but they're just going to like leak out in different ways. How can you say, okay, I'm feeling a lot of blame right now. How can I move into a place of responsibility? This to me feels much more empowering. This feels like, hey, I've actually got some autonomy here. What can I be responsible for? When that shit hit the fan, what part did I have to play in that? Not in like a blamey or a judgy way or a critical way. You know already that I'm not about that. How can I just neutrally look at the facts, look at the situation, the lessons, and be responsible for what I do next? How can I be responsible for having better boundaries? How can I be responsible for how I communicate? How can I be responsible for knowing and claiming the requirements that I need in relationships? How can I be responsible for my habits, for how I cause motivation, for the way that I live my life, how I embody my values? These are all things that you can do something about, and you can do valuable things to make the life that you want happen if you step into that powerful place of being responsible for it. That doesn't happen when we are festering in that blame. This leads me to the next point. I really urge you to always feel your feelings. When I'm sharing these mindset hacks, some of these approaches may not be available to you right in the beginning if shit has literally just hit the fan. Sometimes you have to go through that emotional spiral or go through that emotional wave in order to then take a step back and say, okay, cool. Now I'm going to shift from blame to responsibility, or now I'm going to shift from the fear of uncertainty to embracing the mystery. So have a space where you can feel your feelings. Maybe you get it out by going to boxing and getting that anger out. Maybe you get a therapist. Maybe you share it with someone who you trust who can hold space for you. Maybe you got to punch some pillows or swim in the sea every day and cry. Allow yourself to feel those feelings and let them be valid, whilst also remembering that feelings are not the same as facts. So feelings are not permanent. The way that you want to react from your feelings is probably not going to be the same as the way you respond once you've ridden out the wave of those feelings. I can't tell you how many times when I've been upset and in the moment, my unconscious mind is going, do this, respond like this, react like this, tell them to fuck off, like do all these crazy things to react to these feelings and what you're going through. And then even a day later or a few weeks later, I think, holy shit, that is not how I would respond now. I feel completely different now, now that I've neutralized it, now that my nervous system feels calmer, now that I've felt those emotions fully. So remember that feelings aren't facts. And so sometimes having a bit of space before you respond to a big challenge or you respond to a conflict or a person that you're dealing with, sometimes having that space is healthy to come back into a more objective, grounded, self-leading place. And with that, facts are permanent truths. Feelings are subjective, temporary experiences. So remember, if you're in a place of feeling really sad or really low right now, these feelings are not permanent, even though they can feel really all-encompassing and really true right now. They're not permanent. I can't remember who said it this way, but someone has described the self as being like the sky and your emotions and feelings are like the weather. I don't know who said this, so if anyone knows, please let me know so I can credit it the next time that I share it, but it's just coming to me now. And with that metaphor, with that concept, it's like the sky is mighty and omnipresent. It's always there. It's amazing. But sometimes the sky has different kinds of weather in it that comes and goes. Sometimes there's an angry storm and sometimes it's bright and sunny and hot girl summer. And so our feelings are like that. Just because you feel low in self-worth doesn't mean that your worth changed at all. Your worth is a fact. Feeling low self-worth or feeling down are feelings, not facts. So remember that if you are in a hard time right now, and don't be hard on yourself. You feel like a sad girl now, but you're going to feel like a hot bitch in a hot minute. So hang on to that vision. The next thing that I want to say to you is to speak with the universe, God, spirit, your higher power, whatever it is that resonates for you in the moments where you feel most alone. I really believe that that's when your higher power cradles you the most intimately, but we have to play our part in the conversation. When we're feeling down, when life feels hard, when things have been going wrong, that's usually when the separation consciousness really sinks its claws into us. We feel like we're the only person who's going through that. We feel like we're the only person who would make a mistake like that. We fear that no one gets us, that everything is working out great for everyone else and maybe it's not going to happen for us. And logically and consciously, you might know, I know that's not true. I know that everyone goes through hard times, but for your inner child or for your deep unconscious, it might not feel that way. If you're feeling low and separate and isolated, that feels really real for a part of you. So this is where I think it's so helpful to speak with your higher power, to ask for support. How can your higher power support you if it doesn't have its command? So be specific about what support you need. Write it in your journal, say it in your prayer, and maybe speak it out to other people too, because everybody is part of this web of universal consciousness. And I think sometimes the universe sends us our miracle or sends us that support through other people. So open up, share, ask for support, whether it's your higher power or the people around you. Be vulnerable. You are not the only one who is going through this. And there might be people around you who have some amazing wisdom for you, or they know exactly how to support you or to walk with you because they get it. But they don't know if you don't tell them. Not everyone can read minds. The last point I want to share is around gratitude. Don't yawn. I know that everyone talks about gratitude, but gratitude is so powerful when it comes to feeling empowered. And what do you want to feel when you're feeling low on motivation, shit has hit the fan and life is challenging? You want to feel empowered again, yeah? So one of the best ways that you can do that is to prioritize gratitude practice. A lot of people do this very early in their spiritual and self-help journey, and then they sack it off because they're like, oh, boring, gratitude. I'm already grateful. I don't need this anymore. And then when shit hits the fan, it's really hard to be appreciative and positive because they stop training their brain to do that. Gratitude practice is literally so simple yet so profound. It's helping you to create neural pathways in your brain so that you can actually see and notice all the things to be grateful for. It's not that there's necessarily more things to be grateful for, but your brain doesn't filter that in if it's not wired to filter that in. So one of the ways you can use your conscious focus to direct your unconscious mind is to write down things that you're grateful for every day, not just when things are good, but every day, or at least a couple of times a week. You can even do this with a partner or a friend. I do this a lot with my husband, and I often do this when I'm gathering with my girlfriends. We go around in the circle or at dinner and we say something we're grateful for. It immediately makes you feel so good, which who doesn't want a bit of good vibes when they're in a low place? But on the long-term scale, it's actually helping your brain to see things through an appreciative lens. And when you're going through a hard time, it's very easy to focus in on all the problems. It's harder to see the gifts and the gratefulness when your mind is so focused in on what's wrong, on what's painful, on what you feel guilt or shame around. So do the gratitude practice as much as you can. And when you're in a low place, especially do it then. That is how you take your power back, because where you focus is where your energy is going to go. But also on a very scientific and logical level, the more that you focus on something, the more you notice more of it. The same way, if you really want to get engaged, you start noticing every bitch's engagement ring. Whereas someone who isn't really concerned with that, or they already got married 10 years ago, they're not even noticing that that person's wearing an engagement ring. Or if you want to buy a certain kind of car, you're the one who notices more of that car on the road. There's not suddenly more of that car out there on the road. Your unconscious brain is filtering that information in because it feels relevant, because you've been focusing on it. So when you're in a time where your focus and your attention is fighting fires, putting out fires, you know, working through problems that you might be facing, one of the gifts you can give yourself is to also put some of that focus into what you can be grateful for. You can always find something. And that's going to help you to have a more harmonious mindset. That's going to help you to see the bigger picture so that your problems don't swallow you up and spit you out. And it's so simple and it's free. So if you take anything away from this episode, I would say take that away. Do your gratitude practice or get back into it if you've fallen off the wagon. If you are having a hard time, I hope this episode was helpful for you. I hope it helps you to bounce back, gives you some really easy takeaways. I'm sending you so much love into the void or into the pit of despair that you might be in. It's time to rise up out of there. Nothing is permanent. You got this. This is just a season. And how you choose to valuably respond to this season is what's going to help you to manifest the great next season of your life. And I really see that happening for you. So believe it, intend it, choose it, act from it, and keep going. I'm sending you so much love. I hope this episode really was helpful for you. I would love to hear if it was. And I will see you in one of the next episodes, my friends. Mwah. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope this episode ignited you, expanded you, and enriched your heart, your mind, your life in some way. If it did, reach out on Instagram. My handle is thisisamyrushworth, or you can head over to my website for all my courses, retreats, and magical offerings at amyrushworth.com. If the show feels like a vibe for you, make sure you subscribe. And if you have 60 seconds to rate and review, or even to just share the show with a friend, I would be so, so, so grateful. And it helps more amazing, beautiful people like you to discover this show and to improve their lives for the better. Stay tuned for the next episode. And until then, I'm sending you strength, grace, ferocious courage, and a friendly reminder to always love yourself fiercely and to go out there and live your most unapologetic life.